Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value.
Mr. Speaker, here's the latest reality game. Let's play Wall Street bailout. Rule one, rush the decision. Time the game to fall in the week before Congress is set to adjourn and just 6 weeks before an historic election so your opponents will be preoccupied, pressured, distracted, and in a hurry. Rule two, disarm the public through fear. Warn that the entire global financial system will collapse and the world will fall into another Great Depression. Control the media enough to ensure that the public will not notice that this bailout will indebt them for generations, taking them from trillions of dollars, taking from them trillions of dollars they earned and deserve to keep. Rule three, control the playing field and set the rules. Hide from the public and most of the Congress just who is arranging this deal. Communicate with the public through leaks to media insiders. Limit any open congressional hearings. Communicate with Congress via private teleconferencing calls. Heighten political anxiety by contacting each political party separately. Treat members of Congress condescendingly, telling them that the matter is so complex that they must rely on those few insiders who really do know what's going on. Rule four, divert attention and keep people confused. Manage the news cycle so Congress and the public have no time to examine who destroyed the prudent banking system that served America so well for 60 years after the financial meltdown of the 1920s. Rule 5. Always keep in mind the goal is to privatize gains to a few and socialize losses to the many. For 30 years in one financial scandal after another, Wall Street game masters have kept billions of dollars of their gains and shifted their losses to American taxpayers. Once this bailout is in place, the greed game will begin again. But I have a counter game. It's called Wall Street Reckoning. Congress shouldn't go home to campaign. It should put America's accounts in order. To Wall Street insiders, it says no on behalf of the American people. You have perpetrated the greatest financial crime ever on this American republic. You think you can get by with it because you are extraordinarily wealthy and the largest contributors to both presidential and congressional campaigns in both major parties. But you are about to be brought under firm control. First, America doesn't need to bail you out. It needs to secure the real assets and property, not your paper. That means the homes and properties of hardworking Americans who are about to lose their homes because of your mortgage greed. There should be a new job for regional Federal Reserve banks. We want no home foreclosed if a serious workout agreement can be put into place. And if you don't do it, we want a notarized statement by a Federal Reserve official that they tried and failed. Second, taxpayers.
Thanks for hanging in there. I didn't know it was going to be that long. But anyway, you get the idea. And that was made quite a while back. Bill, welcome. I'm welcoming everybody. I know Oz is trying to get in, Yola, Linda here in California, Bill's from Indiana. He's on the line. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me?
Yes. Also,
okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. What a day. What a day. It's been a crazy. I just want to say, this is Patriot Family Chat. We are www.patriotfamilies.com, and we got to settle up with Hollis or whatever. I got to schedule some shows and figure out what to do here. So hopefully others can get in. I've sent out a couple emails. I rescheduled just this one, and then later on, probably tomorrow morning, I can go in and get some more rescheduling all the way to whatever days we want to, you know, go for it. Because we're doing Delaney on the weekend, I should be able to do the shows prior to that and afterwards, if I'm alive that day, but it's okay. Yeah.
We really don't know what's going to be happening between now and
oh
then.
Oh, my God.
It's going to get
heavy. We don't. And what you asked me the question on that scam, that was an older article because I remember hearing Glenn talk about it. But these are things that we need to keep in mind because we need to bring these people down.
Well,
and it's funny because what happened when I was going through all this stuff, that was one of the first ones I read. And then, you're going to love this story, then I get a 15-minute, this was, he's from Rhode Island. His name is Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from Providence, Rhode Island. Rhode Island, Senator. This clown rambled on. I didn't watch the whole thing. There was some YouTube video of him speaking on C-SPAN for 15 minutes on blaming the Republicans for saying that the tornado, you know, all this stuff with the tornadoes, and the tornadoes are only going to get worse because the Republicans are thinking that climate change is a big hoax. And I almost lost it. Believe me,
well,
Bill. So go ahead.
I really wish that the public could see what I showed you and realize that if you follow that money, if you look at who's invested and in charge in these carbon exchanges, you're going to find out it's your politicians. It's the same people that's out here pushing the lie, the Al Gores and Valerie Jarrett's in there very deep.
Oh, yes. She's been in there. Van Jones, Al Gore, all of them.
$400 billion in profit the first year.
Because
percent of the tax.
It's, you know, what they're looking at, Bill, is astronomical trillions of dollars. They're not dealing in billions anymore. These people, look, we have corruption that is so beyond our imagination. It's like the Twilight Zone. So here's what happened. Let me just give you a little bit of a rundown. We got plenty of time. We got an hour and 22 minutes. So I found when this guy was speaking, if I could have gotten my hands around his throat, you know what I would have done. But I took his name down and I went to his website and I went down and looked at, you know, how they give the two offices. He has got an office in D.C. and one in Rhode Island. So I looked at the zip code and I just made up an address with that zip code. And I went to his website and I contacted him through an email form and used his phone. I did my real name and my real phone number, but I used the address because sometimes they'll reject him if you're not from, you know, that area. And I explained to him because he was going on. It was right after I had read what you had sent me. And I said, you know, I just saw this video of you speaking about the hoax that is climate change. And I said, perhaps you're not doing any reading, sir. I said, are you not familiar with the Chicago Climate Exchange and the Shore Bank and the Joyce Foundation? And I said, and all of this this carbon tax nonsense that they're trying to scam, you know, redistribution of wealth through this nonsense to, quote, save the earth. And I said, perhaps you need to do a little bit further study on the diatribe that comes out of the mouth of people like Maurice Strong talking about eugenics. I said, here's a place for you to go. And I actually put two websites, which was Tom DeWeese's website and also Rosie Chiori's for Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. And I said, perhaps you should start there. I was livid, and I sent it. Believe me. And I gave ISA an email. He'll soon not forget the other day as well.
We're past the point of trying to be civil to these people. And when talking to them, they just smile at you and ignore what you say.
Yeah, here's another lefty information. You're going to love this. I went to a rally. It was an hour long, and it was down on the corner, not too far from me, protesting against the IRS, you know, everybody had signs, and the Fed and the IRS. There was one guy with his stop illegal immigration sign. There was, we got a lot of honking horns. We got a lot of people. People are finally waking up. And I was speaking to one of the gals. She's the one of the founders of Stop Taxing Us. And I've known her forever. And she's very into this stuff. And she said she was in Vegas working on something, you know, for a Tea Party deal, her deal. And also she was close to the Bellagio. And apparently there was, it was called SALT, S-A-L-T. And this was going on at the Bellagio with all these leaders of heads of state, leaders from around the world, big wigs. There was Gore, there was the Bush family, and Sarah Palin, and all these people that you wouldn't think would all be in the same room, but they were. And she says, they're all in on this. I says, I know. And I said, I think, and one of the gals disagreed with me, but I, you know, I just brushed it off because maybe she had been brainwashed because her family was in the SNL business, because I said, yeah, they're in on it. And I says, I do believe that all of our branches of government are controlled by the Federal Reserve. They take their marching orders from all of these people. And I believe the global banking cartels, the Rothschilds and the rest of them, that's what I'm seeing. And it's been over and over and over again. And Ron just sent me another YouTube thing explaining it. It was amazing. It was only 6 minutes long, but it was really amazing. I went ahead and reposted it on Facebook, so if you guys get it later. But this is what's going on. And this was just from the time I woke up this morning till I'm talking to you right now. I mean, and then when I leave, I got to go to a Tea Party meeting. It's going to be huge. People are speaking from my group on Agenda 21, so I need to be there.
Well, I was at the IRS in Indianapolis today for a protest. And I'm going to return to Indianapolis on Saturday, I believe it is, for a protest against Monsanto.
Good, good.
And, you know, I am seeing awakening. I am seeing that
absolutely.
It's still not enough. It's not going to be enough. But when I woke up this morning, I had a different outtake on some things, Linda.
Okay.
I was watching the Oklahoma City thing.
I know. Oh, God.
Here's a disaster. But look at how those people were pulling together, helping each other.
Oh, God,
In these moments, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican.
Doesn't.
It doesn't matter what race you are.
That's right.
All that matters is you're in there trying to help your neighbor, and your neighbor's trying to help you, and those things. And those
Completely.
Are the moments when we actually act like Americans.
And human beings, yes, and
we stand together, we pull together, and what we have is a political system that does its best to keep us spread apart.
Oh, I know.
Going at each other and this and that and this and that, and unless we can wake up to that fact, I mean, I've said it before, and I get criticized for it. I don't care. It's still how I feel. We have a one-party system masquerading as two parties.
Yep. Yes, it's true. And what I'll try to do is everything that I got from Ron, I think there was only a couple of them, but I will shoot them over to you guys by email, either later tonight or whatever. I've got – this has just been a long, long, crazy day, and it ain't over yet. So when we're talking about – I want to mention that I found out today on the radio show when I listened to Glenn, and that was 9 o'clock my time, probably noon for you guys – and he said, because I remember watching him on GBTV, and then it's 3 o'clock my time, of course, the tornado had been around for a little while, going crazy. He got off the air, and he looked at his crew, and he says, we got to get out of here. We got to go help these people. And he did. He got the trucks, got the food, the supplies, everything. You know, he got Mercury Run up and running for donations. I mean, they within 24 hours, they collected from Glenn's audience alone, it was over $600,000 to help these people. And 100% of that money goes to those people. Not 1 ounce goes to a postage stamp or any other administrative, nothing. It goes to them.
And that in itself was amazing. So let me tell you how it worked here in Indiana with the Red Cross.
Oh, yeah.
And the Salvation Army. When they were collecting, people were making donations for Katrina. They filled their own bins and stuff before they sent anything to Katrina.
Yeah, see, this is wrong. That's why Glenn's doing what he's doing, and that's why people are not giving to the Red Cross. They're giving to Mercury One, which is, you know, I mean, you can give as little as $2, I'm sure, whatever you can afford. But those who have more, of course, have been doing, and they're just, and people from all over the country are just taking their trucks. They're doing everything they can. There's EMTs.
American.
There's, yeah, absolutely.
That's American. We're not, that's throwing out the bullcrap. And that's getting right down to the nitty gritty that, hey, my neighbor needs help. Hey, it's in my heart to go help people. That's exactly why the government needs to keep its nose out of the charity business and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are the most giving people on the planet, and there's no way anybody can ever deny that. We give more to the world, aid and stuff to the world, than any other nation. No nation's close to us. Our government needs to get out of it because our government has a problem. They want to pick winners and losers.
Well, they have a problem in many, many arenas. They're statists and they're insatiable. They're thieves. They are money changers and thieves. And these people, I'm telling you, I'm surprised. You know, it's got to be just the fact that Christ was sent here for a certain reason because not just to turn over those tables, because I'm sure he had to have a lot of restraint. You know,
Ken says we have a government that's playing spy versus spy.
Playing who?
If you ever saw that in Mad Magazine, spy versus spy.
Oh yeah, it's like,
it's what we got. We got Republicans as one, the white spy or the black spy, and whichever one they are, the Democrats are the other one. Constantly trying to stab each other in the back, but in the process, it's us that gets hurt.
Well,
they're trying to keep us distracted. They're going to try to shove this amnesty thing down our throats.
Oh, I know.
And I got to tell you, I don't care how you do it. Mathematically, I don't like assumed numbers. I like real numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Factual numbers. Mathematically, nobody has told the truth about the cost of this amnesty.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's huge.
They only want to tell you about 10 years down the road. They don't want to go 15 and 20 because that's when everything comes crashing. And
well, look,
at the same time, they're basing all the numbers on 11 million people. And we all know that number's not even close. So the cost is going to be double to triple.
Yeah, Oz was saying that he was asking a question, and as far as the Mercury One donations, they do really well. I don't know if they're more than Red Cross. However, a lot of people don't know about Mercury One, and that's a problem because there's, you know, too many people who have their heads in the sand. And I want to welcome Robert from Florida. How you doing?
Hey, this one to help it all strong. How you guys doing?
We're doing
well, Robert. You are too.
I know.
I'm hanging in there. It's terrible.
I know.
That storm is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful.
But you know what? Everybody who's watching, everybody who's down there, there's like several pastors from several churches, and they're seeing things that are, you know, are just miracles. And this is, you know, I think all this is happening for a reason. I know that anyone that dies in something like that in nature can be pretty crazy. You know, you can't stop them storms. And they're extremely powerful. They're more powerful than, you know, Zeus with lightning bolts, for heaven's sakes. It's just crazy. We just have to pray for them. And I was going to play a little short song here, and then we'll do a little prayer, and then we'll continue on, if that's okay with everybody. I didn't know if you just do a little bit here so we can pray for these people. And they're going to need it. And anyone who can send money, that's great. But we can pray. Those who don't have, we can pray for them. Get this. Heavenly Father, we pray that the people of Oklahoma, especially Moore, Oklahoma, where this 2 mile horrible tornado ripped through and just turned everything into toothpicks, that you can help them, Lord, and help them pick up the pieces. And thank you for sending all the wonderful patriots and Americans, and it doesn't matter what stripe they come from, where they, how they think, how they vote, it doesn't matter at all. We just thank you for all these wonderful, generous people, that we're still Americans, that we're gonna beat all these guys back, and we're gonna take this country back, and those people are gonna be well fed and taken care of, and they're gonna be housed, and someone's gonna rebuild their homes, and they're gonna have barn raising, just like, you know, like the old days. That's the pioneer spirit and the love, and we want the pastors to pray that the Lord, and we can pray that anyone who lost a child or a loved one gets extra comfort from Jesus tonight, and just make sure that their needs are met. And boy, our hearts go out to everybody, and God bless everyone in Oklahoma and all the people that come from all around the country to help them. They're the real heroes in this land, and the real warriors and patriots.
And those of the foreign nations that have offered aid.
Yeah, oh yeah, and in Jesus' holy name we pray. Thank you, God. Amen. So anyway, I want to get rid of the... It's a beautiful song, but we... Sometimes it won't shut off. It's like I have to hit it about 3 times. Anyway, so we just wanted to give our hearts and prayers to these people because, I mean, that's all we can do. And like I said, those who have can, and they will. So we're praying for those donations to come in through Mercury.
It's these times when we all realize that we're all brothers and sisters, and
yep,
our compassion does flow over, and we are deeply,
yes,
concerned about these people.
Oh,
but but when we get to looking at it, disasters happen. It's been a thing since the Earth's been here.
Right.
And they'll continue to happen. You just can't deal with Mother Nature like you can other things.
Sure.
We just hope, pray that, you know, more people are found. I know the number
right.
was dropping. They have found some more, and that was good. The
devastation
is there, but you can replace everything except the life.
Except the people, I know. Of course, you can't.
That was a sigh of relief that, you know, because this could have been totally, totally way worse.
Way.
And we're thankful that it wasn't.
I know, and especially when you look at the destruction and look what nature did to those cars and the houses and everything else that was around it, and all the street signs were gone. The people, like the National Guard and the people who wanted to help, they said, we don't know where the streets are, because they had a list of people who had underground storm cellars, right, and with addresses on a database, but they can't find the the houses to look under the rubble to get the people out, because they can't find the streets. Everything's, you know, upside. It's like somebody just, like the Wizard of Oz, and it just went completely kablooey, and they weren't in Kansas anymore. I mean, what a mess. Those poor people, they can't even find the addresses. There's no streets. There's no nothing. It's like, you know, like an EMP hit, only worse. Wow.
So watch these people. What's the resolve of these people? They've been through this before.
Sure, absolutely.
And watch them. And that there gives me a pride to watch them. They don't lay down and quit. They jump in there with both hands and they get going.
And I remember,
and they push themselves and they,
right,
they respond in a way that just, you know, to me, it makes you proud. That's America. that's how Americans are.
And I noticed that. Yeah, Glenn was saying, he says the when he first got there, they were the first ones there, and he says, and then I think the Red Cross showed up, and I think the National Guard, and of course local everybody, you know, and people from out of state, people were coming in from all over the, you know, the north, the west, the everywhere to these people. And he says, the one I didn't see was FEMA. And I'm saying to myself, good, don't let them come there. They'll destroy everything. They'll take everybody's damn guns.
They'll bring you a bunch of campers full of formaldehyde.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like, good. You know what? If it was me, I would get some good old boys to stand guard and say, when the FEMA trucks come, say, get out of here. We don't want you. We don't need you. Oh, God. And
one of the things that came was, in the piles of them rebels, you saw the American flag being raised.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Marines, some ex-Marines grabbed a flag up out of the rubble, and they raised that flag, and they propped it up. And it happened over and over in different spots all around in that area.
Awesome.
It's happening.
Good.
That's American pride.
Good. Wow.
I really kind of hate to jump from that to back to the corruption of the current administration. But,
oh, Lord, go ahead.
The woman who supposedly started all this at the IRS,
right,
and who's supposed to go on to be a big player in the health care, she's going to plead the fifth.
I heard that.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but does that not just make you look even more guilty?
Well, you know what? And I heard today at the rally that all these people are keeping. Believe me, I was there with some heavy hitters today, heads of Republican women's clubs, people who have already run for office. I mean, big wigs here in our community, and several city council members from Oceanside. And it was like they're all getting the same picture. They know that this is just the corruption, and they don't trust ISA to do his job correctly. Nobody's trusting our government at all anymore. All sides of the aisle, they all understand that no one can be literally trusted, because as we see, we've got John McShane, we've got even now Sarah Palin going to this, hanging out with the other guys. It's just crazy.
I have some cassette or some CDs. And these are from years ago, and they listed who all attended the Bilderberg meeting at that time.
Oh, good. Wow.
And you'll find McCain's name in there. You'll find, you know, it just, at the time, it floored me. At the time, I was fighting nothing. I was exclusively with ALIPAC, fighting against illegal immigration. And
wow.
It floored me, and it took me in a whole new direction. It took me to Agenda 21. It took me to what they were... The big picture, and I realized that the illegal immigration issue was just a small part of that. It was just part of the plan, the part that they want to destroy our culture. So you overwhelm it with someone who's not of your culture.
Right.
And what do they do?
Yeah.
They try to turn it into their culture.
Well, you know, the other thing you
mentioned.
The success
of the United States was based on the fact we had people coming here who were assimilating. We don't have
right.
that now.
Oh,
now we can't even fly our flag because we might offend somebody. What the hell? If the American flag offends you, you shouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
If us saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you know,
what you're describing is our school system, which is completely broken, should be dismantled and start over. And I'm from the ground up, and one of the things that the guy Lee and I, we were talking, and he said we were talking about abolishing the IRS and ending the Fed and getting rid of the EPA, and he says, oh my God, that would be probably the third one I'd get rid of. And he says, along with the Department of Non-Energy. And I said, oh yeah, I mean, the list goes on. He says, but there's a few main ones, and they know. The Department of Education, is that was one of the ones he first named. And I said, it's ridiculous. I said, and I talked a little bit about Common Core, and C-Scope got taken out of Texas completely. They just outlawed it the other day. I saw that on a YouTube.
It's not going to happen here in Indiana. I don't see it happening. There's already too much built against it, the C-4.
Oh, okay. And so my sister had never heard of any of this stuff. And I said, well, C-Scope was in Texas, and they got rid of it, and it was evil. And I says, and Common Core is even worse, and 44 states have adopted it, 6 have rejected it, and we're trying to get rid of it because it's just – it's not good, and it's a national, the education curriculum. And I didn't go into any detail. But, she's got grandkids that are – well, one's going to college, so we can't help her there, but she's going into the dental thing. She's not studying politics, thank God. But the other ones are like 5 and 7 years old and going on 6 and 8. And I'm sure they're getting brainwashed. They're in California. They're getting it up one side and down the other. They're not my kids. I have no say in it, so I'm not even going to go there. That's up to them. If they want them to be brainwashed and indoctrinated in Marxism, I can't do anything to stop it.
Pretty much anyone who's in a public school system is in an indoctrination system.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's horrible.
We do have a charter school system here. It's pretty expansive. And you start pushing socialist issues, and what you'll see is more charter schools popping up because they get subsidized the same as the public school does.
Yeah, it's, and
people that are aware and actually care about their kids and pay attention, the moment you start doing that, watch for Indiana to see a big up boost in charter schools. They won't take it.
Yeah, Yella says the same thing I'm dealing with. She says, but you can't force the parents to listen, and they don't listen. Oh, I know. I'm in libtard California. I know. It's crazy.
Well,
I got people in my own family.
It's more of a problem in the cities than it is in the rural areas.
See, I'm in a city. I'm in a city of about 3 million people here in San Diego County, from Pendleton down to Chula Vista, which it's a good 50 miles in north to south, and then probably another 30-35 going the width and breadth or whatever. And it's a lot of territory. We have some rural things. We have some small farms, and we have all these things, and we're of course right up against the coastline, and it's very beautiful. And I was talking to people. Some people are they're fighting real hard. They're thinking that that there's going to be a shift, seismic shift, and even California and some of the liberal states will turn around because people are waking up. But I don't, I said, well, you guys, that's fine. I'm concerned about the financial situation. And when you talk about the 15 years out on this immigration, I don't think we have that long, dude. I mean, I think within two years, this train wreck is going to hit.
Amnesty it fits all three of the major Agenda 21
policy.
One,
right.
It destroys the culture. Two, it destroys the economy overnight. I mean, it flattens your economy overnight.
Right.
And then three, it weakens your ability to defend yourselves from foreign invaders because, hell, you just filled your country up with them.
Oh, it's stupid. And the worst part is there are no jobs. There are no jobs for you and me. There's how are you going to employ people coming across? That's insanity. There's not going to be one ounce of jobs for them either.
Oh, I like how they use the farm bill and all this and that. But when you actually look at the percentage of them that work in farm industry, it's a very tiny percentage. They're not in your farms, people. They took over construction in many places.
Yep.
Don't believe
right.
that? Look up Andy Royalty Construction in Jackson County, Indiana. This was a guy who built his business. He put his opposition out of business by using illegals, paying lower wages, and now he has pretty much bought his way into the political scene. He's part of the county government.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. What I was going to say is you can go from one end of this state to the other, north, south, east, and west, all the inside borders of California. I bet you maybe there's on less than one hand if you found a restaurant that employed cooks that weren't Hispanic. I don't know how, honest to God, I don't think they exist. I mean, anywhere in the state of California. I don't think there's a dishwasher or many busboys. It all depends on the owners, but I'm telling you, it's crazy. It is absolutely insane what's happened to the state of California, and I'm sure that that covers a lot of the Southwest and others, you know, other places.
It covers this country.
I know.
Over
it's
and
nuts.
Over. Luckily, I live in, like I say, I live in a rural area, a smaller area, and most of the restaurants around here in my area, now if I go 10, 15 miles, 18 miles east, I'm in Seymour, and Seymour is a little different ballgame. It's little
right.
Tijuana. But out here through the rest of this county, it's mom-and-pop restaurants and stuff, and you're still getting the home cooking styles and this and that.
Right, right.
You don't have, like, with the church system around here. I don't know anything around here. I know there's got to be a Jewish place, synagogue, but there are nothing else. Everything else is Christian churches of some type, Christian Catholic
cool.
churches of some type.
Well,
so it's
and,
a dominant
and the other
area there.
And I bet you, there's very few places, if any, you know, those big trucks that go around and pick up people's garbage. Yeah, I'll bet you there's not one Caucasian person running them trucks like there used to be when I was a kid. Not one.
Well, that's all there is here.
Same thing? Same situation?
No. No, totally different.
Oh, okay.
You're going to see nothing but white people running those jobs.
Oh, that's great. You're lucky.
They don't pay as much. The Hispanic population is coming here, and they're in the factories.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. They have that here, too. I know.
Well,
we
had that big argument here in 2006, and they claimed a small amount. And if you were to go back and pull up the Columbus Republic paper, the Seymour Tribune paper, the North
right.
Vernon Sun paper, and several other, and these are three different counties, the headlines in every one of them are the thousands and hundreds that fled the factories when they thought La Migra was coming.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And that was because of a flyer that Don Gamble designed, and he and I were part of we were the heads of an organization at the time, and we put the flyer out to Cummins engine people, and they spread
right.
it through all the factories. No one read what the thing said. All they seen was it looked, you know,
right.
Official. They played
wow.
the factories, but it exposed the huge numbers
sure.
that were here and that all the factories that were letting them in and
yep.
everything else. And since that's died down and they're trying to hide all that, pushing still, but I'm telling you, amnesty, we're distracted. They're going to shove that right down our throats, and no one's paying attention to it. But when it comes to that, they can discriminate against a legal American citizen, but you can't discriminate against a Hispanic, illegal, soon-to-be amnesty citizen, whatever. I mean, you can't check their background for their criminal records and hold them out of a job.
Gang yeah.
affiliation, that's no problem either. They got to give them a job. You know,
well, you know,
or
when you look at
welfare
at the
stuff right off the bat.
Yeah, when you look, oh, I know, this is sickening. When you look at the immigration problem and the sanctuary cities and how many years it's been going on, as far as from what I can see, especially in California, because we are very close to the border. So we found out about this stuff in 1972, and they were pouring across here unbeknownst to anybody. There was no news media. There was nothing about it. Shortly thereafter, you know, of course, the Mexican mafia gets involved, like the La Raza and the Mecha and the rest of these clowns and the, you know, Antonio Villa Reconquista clowns and, you know, and the sanctuary cities started.
And all them, yeah.
Yeah. So, look, when you look at how long Agenda 21 has been on the table, especially in California, if you go back even to 1974 under Governor Reagan, and the regionalism and all this stuff. So we're going way back to the actual tip of the iceberg, probably 20 years before the Rio summit. And they've been marching towards this. So we've got over 45 years of this people pouring across the border illegally here in California. So that's helping bankrupt one of the most beautiful, viable states in the union. And the progressives have destroyed it, as you can quite well know. We were not always a blue communist state. We used to be conservative and our color was, you know, the red paint, whatever, which I think is an oxymoron. It should be completely flipped on its head because it should be true blue and commie red as far as I'm concerned, but that's just me.
And, well, I'm sorry, but I'm for cutting off any – I don't want my state giving a dime to California. I don't care how far they think.
Now,
and I don't think any other state should have to bail them out when they keep pursuing failed policies and keep coming up with new failed policies, all the while thinking, oh, the rest of the country is going to bail us out because we're so good. Well, no.
No, they
you're
won't.
You're full of perverts. You're full of sickos. You're full of –
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't think even – zero could force the states to do anything because there's people like Rick Perry who will just stand up to him and people in Oklahoma and Wyoming and other places to tell him to pound it.
Let's be real. Rick Perry supported the FPP project. Rick Perry was part of – he was in there supporting – he was all for the NAU and stuff.
But I don't think he's going to dig into his own coffers and bail out California. I really don't think he's going to.
And we shouldn't be asked to. Now, I could see if California was changing things and correcting their failed policies, but they're not even considering doing that.
They just consider adding
more debt and adding more debt and depending, thinking that the rest of us are going to bail them out because they keep screwing up themselves and pushing deeper and deeper.
Well, here's the school of thought today on the street corner
and
with
New
all
York's
these
just as bad.
The Tea Party Patriot guys was that they're very hopeful that they think that by voting they can change California, and they want to naturally start with the city council, et cetera. And, you know, and I don't see it happening.
Nobody paid attention, Linda.
I know. I get you. They're not paying attention. Now, one of the guys did understand because he is asking me tonight to pass out his flyers because he's been studying. He's got all kinds of stuff for us, information for people. On June 8th, there's a seminar and people are talking about the like what Ron was talking about yesterday, the apportionment for the states and how the founders wanted the taxation to go down and not individuals and not wages and all that, then they would just be tearing their hair out and throwing their powdered wigs at somebody right now. Literally just with rocks inside of them, I'm sure. Because this is not going to stand. So he understands what's going on more than some of the others. And I admire these people wanting to stay here and do it. But I don't want to hang out here, especially if the financial meltdown. I hope I'm not stuck here because it's not going to be pretty. You know, they have the right idea that they want to help their community and their neighbors and everything, but it's going to be a damn war zone here. It's not going to be like you think. I mean, at least all they had to do.
The people who don't know how to do things because fall back into theft, murder, and those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part I'm talking about. At least in Oklahoma, all they had to do was wait for the stupid tornado to get finished. You know, at least they weren't going to have the next, you know, Genghis Khan and his group coming behind the tornado. I mean, that's what's going to happen in California. These people are delusional. And I said, you know, if you get a seismic shift and you know, all that stuff, I says, I'll tell you what, you fix it, you stay here and fix it, I'm going to Indiana, and I'll come back and boogie board in the summer and visit my family in the winter. You know, that's it. Because I said, they've already passed two horrible laws in Sacramento about trying to confiscate people's guns and trace guns. I said, it's not going to stand with me. I'm not living in a state where they want that kind of control and tyranny. Not doing it. And
I gotta be honest. I don't recall that any time recently at all that here in Indiana that anyone was talking about, hey, we're gonna do something about guns, because that was just been laughed out.
Well, I understand that. But when you have a supermajority of libtards up in Sacramento and you've got Mussolini Brown running that show, it's insane. And you got Bob Filner running San Diego, and he's a damn socialist. I mean, it's nuts. the whole city council down there is crazy. These guys are pushing Agenda 21 like nobody's business. When I talk it in front of my city council, they look like at me like I'm a snake with two heads. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't understand why I'm against all these bike paths and all this open space and all this, you know, high density development. They don't get it because they don't see the whole picture. And the next time I get a chance to talk at the action meeting, I'm gonna demand a little bit of time and say, look, you got it. I said I'm gonna explain to them. Look, when you were a kid, you had puzzles, okay? You couldn't see the whole picture until you had all of the pieces in place. Let me give you the pieces. Here's what's going on. I have got to spoon feed these people and speak to them like they're eighth graders because they can't understand it, and they actually think that I'm a conspiracy nut and that there's no global, you know, conspiracy coming against us because they don't believe in all that stuff. And I'm here to tell you, you know, maybe the idiots in the city council aren't smart enough to form a conspiracy, but the damn UN is, and they are. So that's what they need to know.
You know, that gets me because I just read an article last week about conspiracy theories. And in the article, it was talking about all these things that were called conspiracy theories, this and this and this, but in the end, they turned out to be truths. A few years ago, when one of my buddies started talking about the Bilderbergs, all we got then was, "You're conspiracy theorist."
Exactly.
We know now that the Bilderbergs exist. It wasn't a conspiracy. It was a
exactly.
truth. And I don't remember who said it, but it was a famous quote once. Every good conspiracy starts with a grain of truth.
Right. Speaking of the scandals and everything else with Benghazi and Miss Clinton. Oh God, I can't stand her. This one is exclusive. Ex-diplomats report new Benghazi whistleblowers with info devastating to Clinton and Obama, which would be good old Hildebeest, not sick Willie. It says more whistleblowers will emerge.
It's about the gun running.
Yes. I don't know if you read this. Exactly, and Glenn talked about this from the get-go because he's had so many people on his shows who get it. I mean, and the same people who have talked on his shows were on that press conference, that three-hour one I think I sent to everybody on Extortion 17, which was the Navy SEALs that got downed in that Chinook helicopter. I mean, it was just in fact, Michelle Bachmann has been trying to wake people up. She's been on those committees to stop this, you know, funding of the Muslim Brotherhood. She knows the dangers of it. Louis Gohmert was there. General Boykin was there. I mean, there was just all these people. And they know. I mean, I don't know who's connecting the dots, but I know Glenn's been talking about this for a long time.
Benghazi,
that gun right.
Benghazi isn't just an impeachment kind of thing. If you were selling arms or helping our enemies, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas.
Treason.
Yeah. That's an act of
terror.
You are aiding our enemy. And that's...
Oh,
I don't understand one thing, Bill. Who gives the shutdown order? The president. Doesn't he?
Yep.
Who else?
Yep. Stand down.
The
president is the only one that can give you permission to cross another country's border.
Well, the whole problem with impeaching somebody, the Senate, you know, the Senate's not going to convict him, so he's going to stay in office, and he's too arrogant to resign like Nick's Tricky Dicky. But what the situation is that it's too bad that we can't impeach Holder, get him gone, get somebody in there that's somewhat, you know, has the rule of law in their heart, and then demand that all
treason,
of his...
High treason's not impeachment, Linda.
I know that. But here's... Okay.
That's what you want him charged with.
Here's the
and
thing. You can also
get... That's why Benghazi scares them to death.
Yeah, here's another thing.
He can be impeached for the other crap, but he still holds power. But
right.
Benghazi, if you're aiding the enemy and you committed high treason, that's a criminal charge. And
I know.
It can even lead to the death penalty.
I get you. But I don't see that happening with the current situations that we have. Let's say, for example, if we, in our fantasy that we've gotten rid of Holder and we get somebody that's halfway decent in there, I don't care who, and then you go...
You don't think the public would just go berserk if they found out the truth?
Oh, I know, but that...
Do you think the leftists will be okay with that, that he's arming our enemies and this and that?
I don't know. I think it's up to, because of the media, because the media keeps protecting him, and they've been protecting him since he was, you know, probably 20 years old. But I think that if we got a better person in there, and then we could go to somehow with a, I don't know whether a grand jury or a special prosecutor, and demand that all of those records that he had sealed before his 2008 campaign and election have to be revealed. And then they could, then once these fraudulent documents that, and he's not eligible, they can arrest him at that time because, and just remove him from office. He is not eligible.
And anyone who helped him would be
right.
A co-conspirator.
And that would be Hillary
Clinton. So you
would
be dragging Harry Reid out, and you'd be dragging Nancy Pelosi out.
That would be Bill,
you know,
and Hillary.
And the list goes on and on.
Yep.
Yeah, and Hillary.
Yes, and Bill, because Bill was in on that whole scam.
You were going after George Soros.
Yep, every one of them, and all the people involved covering for him. I think Valerie Jarrett, I would say Van Jones, probably Al Gore, and
everyone in his administration would be co-conspirators.
And oh God, and I think that I don't understand why to this day we have 45. Disgusting czars that people are, they're getting paid a salary, and they are the most despicable snakes in the grass on the planet, and we're still dealing with them. I don't understand
that. How many scandals or unscrupulous acts have his czars been caught at?
A few.
You think he don't know what they're doing?
Of course.
He may not. Well, this guy is clueless.
Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing.
He got elected to be the nation's community organizer.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Look, do you think for one second that the school safety czar would be anyone else besides Kevin Jennings, somebody who believes in NAMBLA and pedophilia? I mean, of course. Do you think that the other czars out there, like the Green Jobs czar, would be anybody other than a communist like Van Jones? Do you think that the regulations czar would be anybody less than a 10 times worse than Mayor Bloomberg, Cass Sunstein? Of course not. He handpicks these serpents because they have to be of his ilk. They have to be the most unscrupulous, slimy, slithering things. Or else he doesn't want them there. Of course, they have to be just like him. Please. That's the criteria. You have to be the most corrupt, evil, communist, Muslim, snake in the grass, degenerate, secular humanist you can ever be. And that's how you get jobs under this guy. That's how you get picked by this guy. Go ahead.
It continues to baffle me that people are okay with these picks.
Well, because, are you kidding me? If I walked out on the street like the jaywalking, they wouldn't know who I was talking about. They don't know who Ezekiel Emanuel is. They wouldn't know who Cass Sunstein was. They don't know who the hell Joe Biden is. They've got their head so far on their posteriors, I'm surprised they know that it's day instead of night. It's amazing to me.
And what was fabulous,
the
people you're talking about, some of them people that they were asking and didn't even know who Biden was, are college people.
Of course. It doesn't matter. They could be high school. They could be people 40 years old. They could be 60 years old. They could be libtards. Of course they're libtards. But, I mean, it's sick. It's just sick. It's frightening. And I'll tell you, I mean, yeah, we gotta remember that wherever we are when this brick wall hits, and it will hit probably within the next 2 years, that we've got our tempers under control, and we've got plenty of backup food, and we got plenty of ammo and all the rest of it, and lots of first aid and canned goods and whatever else we need to do. You know what I'm saying? We gotta know who to help and who to hurt.
Well, you got all those out there that didn't prepare because they didn't pay attention.
That's right.
And they're not.
I know.
They're gonna be people you're gonna have to watch out for because they'll be out to rob, steal, murder, whatever.
Well, I think
when people get desperate, that's what's gonna happen.
Yes. And they're hungry and scared.
That's part of the ideology behind everything, was to have this kind of chaos and stuff.
Right. It's sad. I know. It's very sad.
And,
so
we're being set up. We're having, hell, we got foreign troops landing in our country every day, it seems.
Oh, I know.
We continue to be pushed and pushed and pushed. And
yep.
Then when things start to explode, something happens and the attention's taken off of him and all this corruption going on and stuff. It's just becoming, we sit back and every day it builds. We're finding out that the IRS just wasn't targeting conservatives. They were targeting Christians. They were targeting anti-abortion.
They were targeting people pro-Israel groups.
Anybody who wasn't supporting the socialistic ideologies,
right?
They targeted.
Sure. And, you know,
they went after the AP, and we're finding
out
they went after Fox and reporters. And
oh, sure.
And it gets deeper, deeper, deeper.
It does. It gets deeper
and,
by the minute.
And like we said before, Benghazi's falling apart on them because of the whistleblowers. When they talk about all the prosecutions under Obama, they don't tell you that how many of them were whistleblowers.
Exactly.
They prosecuted people who was blowing the whistle on their regime.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, look at the enemies list of this guy. And look how many people have died in his wake. And look how many people mysteriously died under Bill and Hitlery. I mean, it's just disgusting. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know that I have no love lost for Richard Nixon, but I didn't hear anybody dying over, you know, his enemies list. It's just, it's heinous what's going on. It's just absolutely, it's beyond. And we've had it, and it's time to take it back. Because, like Mark Levin says, we own this place. We own this country, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. I mean, like the intro I played.
Please the population, you flood it with people that you can persuade to go your way. And that's exactly what he's doing with an amnesty. And how many Muslims has he brought here?
True. But I'm more concerned about
and it's okay for them to pray, but Christians can't pray because that's offensive.
I'm getting tired of that too. The whole thing with Obama is he's completely in lockstep and counting on his base, and he feeds his base like the indoctrinated college kids or you know the occupiers or the people on the dole, anybody that's on welfare. That's who he panders to. Of course, this one party system wants these Hispanics because they can both lie to them and they think, oh well, maybe these people will vote. And the whole thing is a circus. It's a circus.
No, they're hoping to set up the same type of corrupt dictatorship government style that Mexico has.
Yep. Yep.
And
well,
they will
not
be
only
the
that,
ones, but they'll be the ones instead. They think besides the cartels, they are not smart enough to know they are pushing for their own demise.
True. Oh, I know. I mean, you mean the poor Hispanic people?
Well, actually, them too. The politicians too.
Oh God!
You bring all these
people
up, and do you think they'll ever vote for someone who isn't Hispanic?
Here's the thing. You know, these people, they've got the poor blacks snookered. They've got the Hispanics snookered. These are the Democrats, and I don't understand any of it because they're really. Is no right and left, you know, there's no R&D. This is a one-party system, but there's probably maybe, I would say, 2% of the population who even understands that, Bill? I mean, maybe 3%?
It's a smaller percentage, yes, it is. I get flabbergasted when I see someone go off to do an interview on the streets and asking people questions, and they, oh my God. And I'm thinking, in my day, things that were going on, 80% of the people, if you'd asked them something, would have knew it.
I know. At least they would have heard about it.
But
they would have heard about Watergate.
Dumb the people down.
I know.
Where they just go along and accept whatever you do to them. Until one day they're going to wake up and say, didn't we used to have some kind of freedom? And they have none.
Yeah, there's...
And they wake up
with
no liberty. Oh, yeah. And none of them are smart enough to realize how many freedoms you've already lost since Obama's been in office. But you were losing freedoms under Bush. You were losing freedoms under Clinton. You were losing freedoms under the first Bush. You know, that's been going on.
Oh, let's go all the way back.
Eventually, there'll be no freedom left to lose.
Yeah, they're taking them one by one. They're taking them incrementally and making me crazy while they're doing it. I hate to be one of those people that goes to these rallies and I'm like a Debbie Downer, but it's real hard for me to get energized and optimistic when I see what these people are doing, and when I see that these lovely, wonderful Tea Partiers are out there, and I God bless them, because you know 9/10 of them are Christian and they love their neighbors and they love their country and they're trying. But when they really actually think that they're going to vote their way out of this, I have nothing to say to them. You know what I mean? Oz, we love you. I think we might close down early because unless we can get Robert to say something, I think he's getting ready to split. Yeah. Thank you, Oz. God bless you. Come back anytime. Bring your friends. Get them to sign in.
I have a joke for you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I need a joke.
Obama needs to change the IRS to a different name. You know what he's going to change it to?
I don't know.
Internal Rooter Suckers.
Internal?
Rooter Suckers.
Okay.
That was a bad joke.
I know.
That didn't go to all of you guys, I swear.
I know Robert, I know this morning at 2:30, my neighbor called me. And he called me again at 3 o'clock. It's a good thing. I'm lucky. I'd have been in bed, but I was up practicing my saxophone.
You were phone?
That's funny. That's great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Let's see
if I have to laugh once in a while, because if I don't, I'm going to go berserk.
I know.
Well, I got some bad news for you.
Let's be, though. We've had some of the most off-the-wall funny comments made by these idiots in the Obama administration.
Oh, my gosh.
Pelosi's made them. Feinstein's made them. The idiots
thought
that Guam was going to tip over. Sheila Jackson Lee makes them regular.
Yep. So does Jay Carney Barker. Oh, my God.
I wonder why all these poor people that she's always harping that she's looking out for, how do they view her and all her gaudy jewelry?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You
look
at a woman decked out in gold and jewels and stuff, and she's talking about the poor people. Well, get rid of some of that jewelry and help them out.
Yeah, it's hypocrisy.
Oh, that's not part of it, though.
No.
You know,
when
they say share the wealth, they don't mean with the public or the people. They mean with themselves. The
Congress
scam.
Yeah,
look,
precisely.
They're not sharing the wealth with you people.
The whole thing, once it goes, I mean, there won't be any checks to be, you know, it's gonna be a mess, Bill, when the
it
train
is.
Wreck hits.
It is. Linda, I just got my medical insurance premium. For the year, I was paying $442 a month, right, for the past year.
Oh, geez.
Now it's $506.
Wow.
Yeah,
I know. Well, here's the thing. I don't know how you get your income, whether you're still working or not, but some of us are on Social Security. There ain't going to be any Social Security when this thing goes down. There's not going to be one ounce of – there will be no unemployment insurance. There will be no food stamps. There will be no this. There will be no Medicare. There will be no nothing. It's going to be –
that's how a city person looks at it. I'm from the country here. There'll be lakes and fish and streams and fish.
Right.
There'll be deers and turtles and
turkeys and
squirrels and rabbits and,
yep.
You know, there'll be a garden to grow and those kinds of things.
Yep, you got it.
And
I know.
To us, that's it.
I know.
And then we cling to our families and stuff. You watch these shows
right.
Like Swamp People or Swamp Trader or whatever. And those kinds of shows, those are the kind of people that they'll have no problem, no matter what happens economically to this country. They'll
right.
never have a problem. They know how to survive.
You got it. I know. That's why I want out of this state before this happens. God. Because otherwise, I don't know how long. Yeah, I wouldn't last too long. I know that. There would be no way. There would have to be some major changes.
Well, you got how many people in that state? How many of them would be fighting, trying to take away what you got?
Oh, I know. I mean, I don't have enough ammo. I, honest to God, I don't. Not at this juncture. I do not have. I know that. And
even thinking outside the box, I couldn't do nothing there without destroying everything else. And that's the last thing anybody wants to do, is destroy anything.
Oh, I
you
know.
Don't want to destroy.
Right, right.
We're living in a terrible time.
I know.
And understand, I despise Obama and the Democratic Party, that the establishment of the Democratic Party, they're no better than I despise the establishment of the Republican Party.
Exactly.
The truth is, right now, it took both parties to get us where we're at. We have a debt clock.
And it's taken our apathy, too, and our complacency. And now that we're on it, and now that we're going to try to be vigilant and do something about it, I mean, I don't, I think that Ron had it correct, and it's going to hit the wall, and then, you know, we're going to have to rebuild it somehow if we survive it. And I think we can. I know people like you and anybody else that we can all band together down there. We can do it. You know,
well,
it's time's going to tell.
Exactly.
So,
time will tell. Time will tell.
All we can do is
do the best we can to survive and look out for each other.
Exactly.
I'm lucky to live in an area where myself and my neighbors, we all look out for each other. We watch out who comes up, who goes and leaves up here through here. If we know a neighbor's low on something, we go build them up. You know, we keep our neighbors.
Sure.
We watch out for each other, and. Our country has become complacent at that kind of thing. And hell, if you live in a city, you're afraid of your neighbors.
I'm sure that's true, especially in the really, really big cities. There's one thing I must say about our community down here. It does have a good feel to it. There's a lot of folks who get it, and there's a lot of folks who are good Christians, and they you know, they're not afraid,
aren't you?
There's not a huge fear unless you were like downtown San Diego, and even then it's not that big of a city like LA is. I used to live in LA for most of my life, my adult life, and believe me, that place is a nightmare. But here is a lot different.
I got some advice for all them people that, if it goes to hell, thinks they're going to come out into the country and take the country people's stuff.
I know.
No clue what you're walking into.
Yeah, I know. I know that. But I'm saying, look, I'm in a city.
I mean,
I'm not in the rural area, like the real rural part, like going up to Julian and stuff in the hills. But we've got diversity in that. We've got the beach community and those poor people that they're not going to know what hit them, because those guys have lots of money. They're going to have some security around them.
Money,
if they have,
I got
you know.
You, what good is money going to do you when you can't buy nothing with it?
Well,
I mean,
true.
To have money won't help you. You won't be able to buy food with it. I'm a guy that's trying to survive.
The only thing that the people
thing
who have that kind of money can do is they can just board their houses up and get on a plane and leave. But some of us can't do that. You know, they can go to Belize, but I can't.
If everything goes to crap, they won't be getting on no planes, because they'll be shooting planes out of the air.
I don't think it'll come to that. I just think it's going to be civil unrest, and then they're going to start the martial law. That's what I'm afraid of.
And when they start that civil unrest and stuff, when all this stuff really comes about, you're going to find out just how big a role government's had in cutting back the food supply.
Oh, my God. I know. Oh, God, yes.
They want total control.
You betcha they do.
Only they know what you should be able to eat. Only they know what you need to survive. Only they know what you need in your home. Only they
know
what's good for you.
And only they can go pound sand, as far as I'm
concerned.
And
when you go look at all their family lives and everything else, well, I'm going to tell you something. They're some of the most pitiful humans on the earth.
Absolutely. Oh, I know. Okay, we don't have anybody left in the chat room. Robert, you got any thoughts you want to say before I get some of this stuff on the promo?
Pray for the best. That's all I can say.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how to solve all this stuff.
No, we can't. I think the only one that knows how to do that would be Christ himself. he's the only one that could do that. But I know. Robert, you got to make your plans to come to Delaney. Got to do it.
I was like, Bill, I never thought I'd live the day to see all this crap. I just thought I'd never live to see the day.
That's true. None of us did.
That's the amazing part about it is.
The amazing part is how much has come on in the last 10 years.
I know.
It's been a sped up avalanche.
And
if you remember, I've always said that they're going to have to pick up pace. They're falling behind.
Yeah.
So they're going to push.
I don't know. I think they're up to snuff, Bill. I think they're there.
What I'm saying is, look how fast they got there.
I understand that.
Look how much they pushed it in the last 10 years. They got to where they wasn't even hiding what they were doing.
I understand. 10 years ago, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't figure it out either. 10 years ago,
I know.
I didn't have all the info.
I've been looking into something.
Okay, go ahead.
Punku.
It is probably,
as far as I can tell, the oldest place here. The creator god there, there was all these races carved, and he put all these races around the world, it says. And you need to look at him. He looks an awful lot like someone we all are familiar with. Only he's an older version, stockier, but he looks like Jesus.
Wow.
And this place is 13,000 feet in the tops of the mountain and was flooded.
Interesting. Okay, send me everything you get.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it's kind of if you go and study into it, you're kind of going to get a little biblical backing out of it. I did.
Okay, let me, P-U-M, I'm going to go ahead and get that written down. P-U-N-K-U. Okay, we have a guest, but they left, so we don't know who that was. Okay. And also, I don't know how far you are from Southern Indiana, Robert, because I know that you're on the...
I'm at least 1,200 miles away.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a long one. Are you sure?
It is a long one. Wow. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know.
That's
it will take me 2 days to get up there.
No, it won't. I left here on a Friday afternoon, and I was in Daytona Sunday morning. Or Saturday morning.
Where?
From here in Southern Indiana, I left here in the afternoon on one day, and the next morning I was in Daytona.
You were in Daytona on one day?
Yes, drove straight through. I'm
because,
not that fast. I was driving.
Because when Ron and his wife drove last time, what did it take them? 6 hours from Georgia?
From Atlanta. It's 8 hours from Venice to Atlanta for me. I would go.
Oh, wow.
So you would, it's 8 hours. I would have to go straight I-75 to get to Indiana, right?
I don't know.
65.
Right,
you go up so far to northern Indiana, you get on 65. You take the bypass around Atlanta.
I'll find out. I'll get a trip.
And once you do that, just get back. You come back around and you shoot straight up. Kentucky, Tennessee, Kentucky and stuff and into southern Indiana. I'm about I'm about 20 miles west of I-65 in Indiana.
How far are you away from Lexington, Kentucky?
Lexington? Oh, about 140 miles.
Wow. Okay. I know. Now I know how to do it.
Yeah, he's like just above, just a little bit above Louisville.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how to go
about
now.
About 50 miles.
I gotta.
Delaney's probably close. Probably 30 miles or so from Louisville.
I'll ask Ron next Monday how he did it. So maybe I can meet him in Atlanta and just follow him all the way up to Indiana.
Yes. Yeah, I've made that trip several times, and you know, bike week at Daytona.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
I'm getting.
It took you 14 hours from Indiana to Daytona.
Yeah.
Oh, you made a good time.
Yeah, there were two of us, and we switched. We were in a vehicle one time. We switched drivers, and then coming back, I rode my bike. It took us about the same amount, but. We drove straight through. We only stopped for gas.
Awesome.
Wow.
Okay. Listen, I'm excited. I am so excited about everything that we're doing. So, I was going to ask you, since I'm coming into the bigger airport, well, not bigger, but the Indianapolis one, is that kind of almost the same distance of in map?
It might be 10, 12, 14 miles farther.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But my daughter says no big deal. She's going to pick you up. And
okay, great.
On Monday, they will take you back.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much. But I was just wondering, hopefully, since I'm trying to get in as early as possible, that we won't have me getting there 8 o'clock at night or something.
I agree with you. You want to get in there and have time to relax a little bit.
Yeah, before we have dinner and stuff.
Before it's dinner and bedtime.
Yeah. So, well, it'll work out, you know. It'll work out. It should be absolutely amazing. So you got to get over there. You just get in your car, Robert, and do it, or get on a plane and go.
No, I'm gonna drive. I need a lot of time to think. But you know, I was gonna ask Billy, are pets allowable in these cabins, or is it not a good thing?
They had pets there last year. They had dogs. Some people did. So I don't know. Bill can get you that information.
You can look it up on the website.
Yeah, go to Delaney Creek. I think it's called. Type it in.
Delaney Creek Park.
Oh, he's not in there. He's not in the chat room.
Delaney Creek Park.
Yeah, Delaney Creek Park.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah,
and,
that's a nice website.
I was thinking he was going to come and share a cabin with Ron.
That'll work.
Well, I have to do, but maybe we can. I don't know if Kathy's coming with us or not. Probably not. It's going to be our weekend away, anyways. We need a vacation by ourselves.
And your ladies in one cabin.
One cabin.
And Linda, Nick and Terry would be in a cabin. I got two other cabins full or three other cabins full. I don't know. I have to sit down.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Do it.
Awesome.
Let me ask you this. If you run out of cabins, if there's no room, is there any local hotels in the area?
Yes.
Oh, there's plenty of cabin space.
If I did that, I'd probably hand you the cabin, and I'd run over to my buddy's house and stay and drive back the next morning.
Nah, don't do that. We'll work something
out. Or I'd take you over there, because he has a three-bedroom house, and he lives there by himself.
Cool.
We'll work it out.
It's not a problem. I've got
kids. All righty, sir.
There's other people that I know that was talking about bringing campers and stuff. I don't know. We'll just see who all shows up.
So So we, if we went and rented an RV, could we park there?
Yeah.
We could.
I just wanted to mention, whoever's in the guest 3900, I know you're just dropping by. We have Patriot Family Chat on Blog Talk Radio here. And we were talking a lot about Benghazi and the illegal immigration and many, many things we're talking about. Now we're getting ready to have a reunion, so we're just kibitzing for the last few minutes. Thanks for joining the show. Anyway, I wanted to do the promotional, unless you guys have more stuff to talk about.
Go ahead and do that, Linda.
I want to say God bless everybody, and thanks, Robert, for joining.
All right,
thanks, and lots of prayers for the people in Oklahoma, and we'll do the 41-second promo, and then I'll go ahead and get a little bit of song going out of here, and we'll wrap it up. Again, I have a lot of things to kind of work on before I get on that plane, but it's all coming together. I'm excited, so let me do this real quick.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Anyway, thanks a lot, and I'm going to get some music. And Bill, it's been a pleasure, as always. We always get a lot of stuff done. And
be blessed.
Yes,
and absolutely. I want you all to know that you are a blessing to me, and I thank you for all you do. And I don't have words to tell you how I feel about you people and what you do and for my country, our country.
Right.
And the people. Don't stop.
I'm going to a meeting right after I get out of here, man. It's going to be wild. Hour and a half meeting, Tea Party Patriots. A lot of great people over there with some great ideas and people talking about Agenda 21 tonight. So it's going to be really, really cool. And thanks, Bill. And I'm going to play a little Keep the Change. And I just want to say before that, God bless and have a great one.
My freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling, I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall, I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same, keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change. Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, then twist it all around. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game, just wait and see. Don't tread on me. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. America, don't you just love that name?
Good night. See you guys tomorrow night. God bless. I'm out. Okay. It's done now.